over, Mr.
Oh, I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue, the podcast where we have a drink and talk about the TV show Dallas. My name is Mary.
And I'm Sarah.
And I'm Josh.
All right. Tonight, I'm drinking Kilt Lifter, which is a Scotch ale from Pike's Brewing Company here in Seattle, Washington, which is where I live.
Well, I'm just drinking regular Pinot Grigio cupcake wine. That's it.
Nice.
Well, I started with some water, but I have moved on to the J.R. Ewing bourbon.
Nice.
Straight from the liquor store here in sunny Boston.
I still don't have any.
I don't think that's available in Washington State.
It's not in Alabama either.
No. It is in Michigan, which is where my family is from. So when I go home to visit, I pick some up there.
And you obviously save the bottles. They are classic.
Oh, 100%. Yes, the bottles are awesome. And I actually have not finished a bottle yet because I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to find more for a while. So
right. I haven't even gotten one yet.
Oh, no. Well, I'm going to have to get you one this summer.
I'll have to figure out. They only have them in Alabama.
I have one bottle from 2013 or 14 that has never been opened and it never will be opened.
That's the first one I got. I did not open because I was like, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to find this again. And then I found a second bottle and I did open that. And it's pretty good. Mostly for the price point. It's not very expensive. And it's really good quality bourbon.
It is
quite tasty.
I will have
to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We highly recommend it to everyone
yes,
out there.
But so. Very much so, yes. All right, so today we are going to be talking about season two. We're at season two,
Yay!
Episode one, which is Reunion Part One. It was written by David Jacobs, directed by Irving J. Moore, and aired on September 23rd, 1978.
The birthday of Bruce Springsteen.
Except I think he was born a few years earlier than that.
Yes.
Were you born yet, Sarah, on September 23rd?
Nope.
No?
No. November 27th.
Nice. So okay.
Couple months.
November 27th, you share a birthday with 1978?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Joshua Harris, who played Christopher Ewing number 2.
Really?
The exact
same
date?
Same day, same year.
It was meant to be. See?
You know, he's also in Twin Peaks.
Yes, Josh, he is.
Really?
Yeah, he plays Little Nicky.
Little Nicky.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, this episode ranked number 56 in the weekly rating. So, that's good.
Yeah.
Finally, our real South Fork. Our real South Fork has finally shown its face.
Yes, the real South Fork. Finally. And we are now at the season that we will always see, I think, for the rest of Dallas, which is a very warm summer.
Yes.
Much brighter,
and it was
much sunnier.
A much lighter atmosphere, a little more...
Yes.
Not as dark.
Yeah.
Not as dark, except David Ackroyd was much darker, Gary, than...
Yes. Yes. Much darker than Ted Shackelford, for sure.
And shorter.
Oh, yeah, that's true also.
Yes.
Sorry if you can hear my dog. My dog is next to me.
All right. Well, mine just ran out, so if you hear barking, that's them.
All right, who has a good, bad, and great?
I don't even know where to start, actually. Does somebody else want to start? Because I hate to start.
Oh, I could start if you want it. Okay. So my good for this episode is JR's cattiness, because he's really, I find him very catty this whole episode towards Gary, and he's just kind of snooty. Like, he's like, oh yeah, great, he's coming home, no, I'm totally fine with it, no, it's fine. And my favorite line from the entire episode is when I think it might be Pam, correct me if I'm wrong, who says something like, oh, Lucy is so lucky to have, like, both of her parents here. Like, that's so great. And then JR says, lucky Lucy.
Good
Just the most, like,
Lucky Lucy.
Bitchy way ever. It's amazing.
See, how do I miss this stuff? I just missed it. I have to watch it again.
It's so good. My bad are Valene's eyebrows.
Oh, my Jesus. I noticed that, too.
Like, girl, did it, like, it's the same style I feel that was really popular in the late 90s where everybody just had these, like, pencil-thin eyebrows. Like, they just plucked almost all of their eyebrows and just left them a little tiny. And that's her thing in 1978, is these little beady eyebrows. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to the eyebrows. I'm sorry.
Because you're a boy. Because
you're a boy. That's why we have girls on here that notice these things.
It was awful. Yes.
And my great is Miss Sally and just how excited she is to have Gary back. And it's just heartbreaking because I feel like you kind of see like how Miss Sally is just kind of on her own in amongst all these like dude bro Ewing guys who are all that. And she's just like, I just want Gary to like paint me a painting and talk about horses and shit, you know. Like, poor Miss Ellie, like, she just wants that. She wants to like talk about feelings with Gary, you know.
No, I agree completely. I guess my good, I guess, wait, are you not done yet? Are you?
No
What's
go
your
ahead
bad?
Go ahead.
No, you did your bad.
No, I did my bad.
That was eyebrows, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, that kind of is my bad now, too. But I guess my good is I liked that you kind of found the story out kind of whenever, well, in Vegas, when Gary is there and finds out that it's like the oil conference or whatever and seeks out Bobby and you get to meet Gary and you kind of get the backstory. That's my good, I guess, because you kind of finally understand why the hell he's not there. Because they talk about Gary, but like, where the fuck did Gary go? Like, mm-hmm. Who just leaves. So you kind of figure that out. And then I guess my bad is I don't like Valene's voice. I'm sorry. That's just I can't think of another bad. She's just Southern. I mean, you know, she's very Southern. And then I guess my great, really and truly, it's Miss Ellie. It's the same as yours. It's just I like that. Because you see, like you said, it's like she loves all of her children, but she loves each one of them in a different way. And you start to see each piece come together, and it makes it more, I guess, understandable. Maybe why Gary left, why JR like he is, and Bobby's kind of like the good son, but kind of, you know, so you understand more. So that's my great, I think, is the same thing as Miss Ellie, for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And I guess for me, good with Miss Ellie laying down the law about Gary coming home she put her foot down and said there'll be no shenanigans and this sort of thing and that, and
she wasn't there.
That's right. Bad was
she was like, do not fuck this up, guys.
Yeah.
Exactly. I had a couple bads. Bad. Lucy was looking for Ray in the barn, and that was all kind of creepy all over again.
What's wrong with her?
Do they always have binoculars in the barn?
She's like, who's that?
Right.
And why is that where she and Ray have to be every time somebody arrives at the ranch? I mean,
I think so. And like, that's all they can think to do with her. Like, what do we do with Lucy? We'll just have her trying to seduce Ray again. Cool.
Right. Also, was there a reunion tower that I saw in Las Vegas? The use of the Dallas theme? Did they just recycle footage of Dallas?
I don't know if any of it was, like, the footage was Dallas. I assumed it was Vegas because I don't know.
It looked like Reunion Tower. I'm going, when did they move Reunion Tower to Vegas?
But I do think it's hilarious using the Dallas theme song over Las Vegas. That was funny to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I also thought it was interesting how, you know, in the miniseries, Lucy and Pam were getting closer together, but in the beginning of this episode, out by the pool, Lucy turns the radio off when Pam says she likes that song. Like,
Right.
What do you...
Like, I thought she's a bitch.
Yeah, and she's just like, no.
And the dog agrees with us because there are no more dogs in Dallas at this point.
That's true.
Oh my God.
And then of course JR's comment with Pam Sue Ellen is asking five letter words for watermarkers, and he looks at Pam floating in the pool and he goes, buoys.
Buoys. Gross, JR. Gross. I know.
He's such an ass.
Yeah. What was your great? Did you have a great?
Buoys. Great. I'm just kidding.
Buoys. I think the whole idea of this may end up going into the second episode. Valley was on to JR. Yeah. Bobby was naive.
Yes, I have the same thing Lucy written down. Like, naive. Lucy is very naive, but I think she's just hopeful. But Valene is very perceptive, where Bobby is just kind of completely tone deaf to the whole situation.
Yeah.
His head's in the clouds. He doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my brother is here. Oh, happy day, happy day. Oh, yes, everybody's going to be back. He's looking at...
I was trying to do the math with this, and Bobby must have been like 12 when he left, right?
I couldn't do it either. I was trying to figure it out.
I think he was borrowing Karen's rose-colored glasses from Knott's Landing.
Yeah.
And her Pollyanna approach to, everything's going to be wonderful. My brother's back, and we're all going to be under the same roof, and everything's going to be happy. We're all going to hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and make s'mores.
Oh, Bobby, so naive.
I agree. Like, I think Lucy was just really hopeful. Like, I think she just really wanted them to be back together. Everybody wants their parents to get back together again. Bobby, he just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I feel like, Gary left, like, sometime within the first year of Lucy's life. And he's never been home in 16 years at all?
I don't think so. I think they said it's been 16 years.
Yeah, because she didn't even really recognize who he was when he came back.
Nah.
Like, that's really questionable. Like, I realize you have problems, Gary, but to completely abandon your kid? That's not cool, man.
And Valene, too. And she kept saying, I knew she'd have a good life with Miss Ellie. But still, that's still your daughter. I know you're afraid of JR. Are they really going to kill you? They're not going to kill you.
Right.
That's your daughter.
Yeah.
So it seems a little shady.
Yeah, but... super shady.
Yeah, that was a very awkward, stiff reunion between Lucy and Gary when she kind of comes across and then they're just there and it's like, okay, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm. Awkward. Awkward.
Very. I guess, you know, that really was just showing how he showed up. They got him back to South Fork. Lucy reunites with him. And they get Valene to come back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It just runs, those two episodes run together for me. So yeah. I'm kind of...
We had our first cattle auction, which I'm hearing they didn't like doing because a lot of times, I guess, fights broke out at the cattle auctions.
Between people?
Yeah. They were actual cattle auctions, so fights would actually break out among people.
It's us damn Southerners down here. It does happen.
They should have just got that cattle. Really? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we still until he died, we had him. She just sold the rest of the cattle 7 years ago, and yes, people break out and fight at cattle auctions.
Wow.
It's really crazy.
That makes it always seems weird that people, like, there are stands and people are watching, like, it's a sport, but if there's fights breaking out, like, sign me up. I would totally go.
Well, fun. That's like European soccer.
Right.
Yes.
Real football. I also saw that we had the very first swim race in the South Fork pool. Because that's like people's favorite thing to do in the South Fork pool is just like have races, even though it's like the smallest pool ever.
Yes. And notice
two strokes and you're at the other side of the pool.
Exactly. And for everybody that has never really been there, we have all been there. character, and it looks totally different in real life than it does on TV. I thought so that was little. Like the coolest. It's little. It's like a six bathtubs together. That's what it is. I mean, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And at the 30-year reunion, didn't that guy jump in the pool?
I think someone did.
Remember, we were over there at the table, and that guy jumped in.
Yeah. And
I think he got in trouble, but.
Probably, but that might be worth it if I had brought a change of clothes, which I did not. And it was cold that night, though. What was he thinking? I think he was just drunk.
I don't know. He was drunk because he's the one that said something about the liver transplant.
Oh, was it the same guy?
Yeah, the same guy.
That was yeah. Cool. Oh my god,
it was pretty bad.
Yeah,
I know. Different story.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing I know liked was Sue Ellen needling JR because she went up to Jock and goes, why don't you take JR to the cattle auction? She was like just trying to, and then the exchange they had as they were walking out toward, he walked after her after she walked away from the pool, and she goes, no, you listen, your brother Bobby, and they're being all nice to Pam and everything like that, and you could see she was she's not in like drunk mode yet, but she was she's trying to fight for her place and push Pam back to the back to the corner.
Mm-hmm. And Jared just shoots her down.
Yep.
And does he always wear a cowboy hat at the pool?
I don't know. I was thinking that too.
I guess maybe that really keeps the sun off your face, though. You don't have to put as high of SPF on, maybe. I don't know.
That could be it. That could be it.
I don't know. I did notice that also Sue Ellen was really egging on the anti-Gary sentiment. Like, at first, because JR's kind of like, whatever, he's my brother. I care to see him every 16 years, fine, whatever, cool, he's not going to stay, it's not a big deal. And then Sue Ellen was like, no, but what if he does stay? And blah, blah, blah. And then I think that really, like, sets him in motion, be like, oh, shit, maybe I should really be thinking more about this. So.
Right.
It was a little bit about Sue Ellen.
Mm-hmm. And did we notice that Linda and Steve finally did appear in the opening credits?
Yes, which is good.
Damn it, I forgot to look, but I knew that I was supposed to look.
Was Ken then also in the opening credits?
Nope, he was not in there yet. Oh.
Really?
No. Which will bring up another point that I want to make in the discussion of Reunion Part 2 about Ken.
Okay.
But I won't bring it up now.
Okay. We'll wait.
But Ray is still driving that ugly blue truck, the pedophile truck.
The pedophile truck.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he does not have his white truck that we are accustomed to yet.
Well, you know, maybe that comes later. You know, it's a new model.
Right. Once they decided to whitewash away the entire incest thing going on with Lucy, they said, let's change the truck too.
Right.
Yes.
And
to get rid of all evidence.
Yes, all the evidence. It never happened.
It didn't
happen. And we had two casting changes here. We had a different face on Raul.
Okay. And I thought that was true.
We had a different Jimmy Monahan here, mm-hmm. who never appeared again after this episode.
Jimmy's gone.
After this episode, never to be heard from again.
So is Jimmy is he Aunt Maggie's son? Do we know?
He's the son or the nephew. That's what we gather because she raised Pam, Cliff, and Jimmy in that house that we see in the next episode.
Right.
And that was our first mention of Aunt Maggie.
I love Aunt Maggie.
So Valene, I think, another thing of math I was trying to do was how old Valene is, since she had Lucy when she was 15. So she's only supposed to be like 32. So this is a full like Gilmore Girls situation.
Yes. So she was, yeah.
Yeah, 15.
Because Lucy.
My son is 15. That freaks me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not go putting ideas there.
Oh, God. Okay, so if she's Lucy's 17 mm-hmm. in the show, right?
Right.
So then you add.
So she's 32.
Yeah.
Because young. Yes. So young.
Okay.
And they don't really say how old Gary was, just that she was 15.
Okay. And this is going to sound really strange because I should really know this. Is Gary the younger brother or the middle brother?
Middle brother.
That's what I thought. Okay, Bobby's younger.
And so...
Bobby's the baby of the family.
And okay, I think Bobby was supposed to be like 28 when the first season, right? I think.
Yeah.
And so he would have been about 11 or 12 when...
Yeah, Gary left. About 16 years. That still is weird.
But also, okay, so they got married. Val and Gary got married without anybody really knowing, and then he brought her home to South Fork. What is the age of consent in Texas?
Well, let me just tell you. In 1978 in the South, there probably wasn't really one in Texas.
Oh, my God.
Now, I know in Alabama, it is 16. In
16?
Wow. Yeah, so my son right now could go and get married, and I couldn't say a damn word about it, and I would have a heart attack.
That's bananas.
Yeah, because do you know how stupid you are at 16? Do you know how stupid you are at 18?
Right.
Yeah.
I was stupid for a much longer time than that.
I'm 40 years old, and I'm still stupid. So, right. I mean, I'm just telling you right now.
Yeah.
I can't even, like, my daughter is leaving in 2 months for college, and I'm stressing out because she's 18, but... Mm. Right. I know how I was when I was 18. So.
Same.
We'll see. I'm opening more wine. Sorry.
It's all right.
There we go.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So.
Did we notice how windy it is out there when they were shooting? Windy? Very windy.
I find it's windy at the ranch a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
Throughout filming, a lot of times it's really windy. But I like that.
And they also did have that shaky camera work on the exterior shot of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I was like, was this earthquake cam here? Do we have a little bit of an earthquake going on?
I think that the shaky cam, though, it makes it seem almost a little more real, you know, like Steadicam.
That's what I said, too. And I think it's also 1978, so,
right.
I mean, they've come a long way in technology.
Steadicam had only been invented a couple of years earlier when they, by someone in the crew working on Rocky, and they were doing the running scene.
I love Rocky.
Gotcha. Right, and 78 was also the year they used that on Halloween.
Oh, yes.
I love Halloween. I love all those.
I'm a horror movie fan, though. So.
Oh, me too. Look at there.
What do we think of that small kitchen?
It did seem really small.
Yeah.
Compared to the, like, in later seasons, like, I'm assuming it's the same space, but maybe it's really not.
Like a different angle?
Is it a set?
I don't know, because you see some weird... Behind them in another room, you see another, like, round table with a glass,
right.
Like a round glass table. Almost looks like patio table with chairs.
Huh. Okay.
Okay, the kitchen at the real South Fork, though, that was never used, right, in the real show.
I don't think the insides were really used at all in the real South Fork. Because it looks totally different.
Yeah.
Not until War of the Ewings, when they, when they were in there. And then in the 2004 reunion, when they all gathered in there.
Okay, now let's watch it again.
It's been a while since I watched more of the Ewings.
What I found interesting was the whole story about Valene coming up to the school in the backstory. I'm like, okay, some strange lady coming up to a school. Isn't that a bit creepy?
It is a little bit creepy. And like, and then Lucy just kind of knows, oh, that lady's here to see me. But I guess she does look a lot like Lucy. So...
Yeah. Because like the... Like the owner of the hot biscuit said to... said
that's
to
the worst name.
They look more like sisters than they do mom and daughter.
I was wondering, is the hot... Obviously, the hot biscuit was a real location. Is that still standing? Do we know?
Hey, we can Google that.
We have to look into that.
I would love to go there.
It did turn up later when Lucy went to work there.
Mm-hmm. The hot biscuit.
Hot biscuit.
Do you know how awful that sounds?
I know. It's terrible.
That's
the hot biscuit.
That's like Saturday Night Live with the sweaty balls and the dusty balls. We've obviously been doing some drinking of our bourbon and our wine here, but you notice that they drink at all hours of the day at South Fork?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They are stomps into the living room and Sue Ellen goes... Jared, it isn't even noon yet. You're pouring yourself a drink.
Jared doesn't care.
He probably keeps a bottle next to the bed.
Probably.
That's hair of the dog there for him most of the time, I think.
I think you're right.
Oh, absolutely.
I do. There's one moment that I really like in this episode, and that's when everybody's chit-chatting away about like this and that, and then Jock stops everything, and he's like, "We gotta stop this pussyfooting around, and we gotta talk about like what really happened. Who needs apologies?
Who you know, did right. what to whom? And
who did what?
Whatever.
Yeah." I like that because basically, like, Jock is saying, like, I don't want any fake bullshit. Let's just get everything out in the open and work it out. Like,
right.
not have any, like, fakeness here. And right. I thought that was pretty cool of Jock because probably a lot of that fell on him. Like, he was the one doing, and he knew he was alone that probably did a lot wrong to Gary.
Right. I think he realizes that, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's funny when they were playing backgammon and Miss Ellie says that Jock hadn't beat her since February, which is
March.
Actually when they were actually, which is when they were back filming miniseries.
Oh, that's nice. That's cool.
I would like to have seen, you know, I like the connection of Pam and Gary, you know, both being like outsiders.
Yeah.
Feeling like outsiders and the valleying and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Just the way they connected over the...
They connected over their hatred of JR at the beginning of the episode when they're in Vegas and they're in Pam's... And Gary's talking about, like, ugh, JR, like, I can't handle JR. He's too much. And then Pam's like, I think we're going to be BFFs, Gary. And then Bobby, like, is all like... What, JR's not that bad? And they both, like, give him the hardest eye roll ever. Because, Bobby, come on.
Bobby, take off Ken McKenzie's rose-colored glasses and put on your, take off, you know.
Right, what are you doing?
Exactly. That is pretty much what I've had for this episode here.
This kind of, and then it just kind of, the end of the part one.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Part two is better. That's my final thought.
Here was an interesting tidbit. Just a couple of casting things. Philip Levine replaced James Canning as Pam's cousin Jimmy, but he also turned up, the actor did, as a character named Lee McHenry in season 8. And Texas actor Oliver Seal, who appeared without any credit in episode 1 as the congressman looking into the oil shenanigans.
Okay.
He had a big part in this episode, but he went on to appear in every Oil Barons episode except one.
Really?
Just as, like, an extra?
Yeah.
That's cool. That would be fun to be an Oil Barons Ball extra. Hell yeah.
I would love it.
You just get to dress in amazing, like... Huge shoulder pads and like gold dresses.
Like your dress from the 40th.
I can only imagine how many days it would take to shoot the Oil Barons, because I was on set for the barbecue episode in the new series.
Yeah.
We were on set from like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and we shot 3 scenes the whole day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, production takes a really long time.
And most of them ended up on the cutting room floor. And you had to go back and forth and repeat each action. And you'd go back. I'd go back to the barbecue line where I'd gotten the food, and they'd take the meat off, and then they would have to put the same pieces of meat back on the plate, even though you're in the background and nobody's going to see what you're getting. Mm-hmm. And some guy has to come over and whisper in my ear and say the same line of dialogue or something. He comes over the table.
Continuity.
Exactly. Which there was a major continuity error later on down the road.
And for I am a video editor. That's my day job. I'm a video editor. And trust me, I really, really appreciate continuity.
Right.
It makes my job so much easier.
Well, what's interesting is how they talk about in these episodes the continuity person had to write because they shot in Texas. Mm-hmm. about all the exteriors. They would have to write down everything they were wearing, which foot set foot in the house first, and what hand they were holding the briefcase in. And then when they had to come back 3 months later in Los Angeles on the interior sets, they would have to pick up right where they left off, and they would have to go to that continuity and make sure that the right foot or the left foot or the briefcase was in the proper... You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because it makes... Because otherwise, the editor is like, God damn it, what are you doing?
Although, somebody slipped up. Somebody slipped up when Bobby got run over later.
Someone slipped up?
Put boots on in the morning. He put boots on in the morning. You see, I'm putting on the boots, but when he got run over, he was wearing black shoes.
Shit! See, I never noticed that. Now
I'm never gonna unsee that again.
I know that is like one of my favorite episodes.
And also, as my husband likes to point out, he died of a giant raspberry to the face because he has that blood. It just is like random blood.
And I'm going, did he come down and like, change his shoes while he's saying bye? I mean, what?
He might have. I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, God. Like, I love that episode.
I always call it the Bobby Shoes continuity problem, but. The last thing is we saw the seedlings going into episode 7 or reunion part 2 of Digger's back in the drunk tank.
Oh, yes, here's another thing. So, drunk tanks, it's just a bunch of beds in one room?
No, that's next episode.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that's next episode. Oh, my bad. I'll save it for the next episode.
We just got the at the end where Pam got called to the hospital.
Okay, then I will.
But it sets up for the next episode.
Okay, which we will talk about next time.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, I guess we should just end it here. Thank you for joining us on the Ewing Barbecue. Please subscribe to us on the podcast app that you're listening to right now. That way you'll know when the next episode comes out. If you like us, please shoot us a 5-star review. That really helps us to be found by other fans. In another way... What?
Do it anyway.
Just do it. Even if you're like, is it 3? Maybe it's like a 3.5. Just do 5. Come on, just do it.
3.5 has a 5 in it, so just go for the 5.
Right, just go for the 5. And another great way for us to be found by other fans is to just tell your friends. You know someone who likes Dallas. Or who
somebody.
Somebody who watched Dallas a million years ago or who's been talking about like, hey, maybe I want to watch Dallas because I can watch it for free with my Prime subscription on Amazon.com. Say, hey, you should watch that and then you should check out this podcast. You can find us and send them to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We are the Ewing Barbecue on Facebook. We have a group. Just you have to ask to join, and then you can come, and we will talk about Dallas. You can write something about Dallas to us. Tell us how much you like it. Tell us your favorite episodes. Tell us, you know, your review of the episodes we just reviewed. We are also on Instagram as Ewing BBQ. And we are on Twitter as BBQ Ewing. So just flipped it a little bit. And you can also send us an email. You can send us your thoughts on Dallas to theewingbbq@gmail.com. And if we get an email, we're going to read that on the air. So,
yes.
Yeah, send it to us because we would love to read it. Yeah. Until next time.
Send us your favorite Dallas moments.
Oh, yeah, your favorite Dallas moments of all time. That'd be great. Or how you even got into Dallas, or I don't
exactly.
know. Your Dallas story. All right. We will see you next time. Bye.
And how many of y'all have been to the ranch?
Right.
That's right.
Have you been to the ranch? Yeah. Okay.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time, guys. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Y'all come back.